Don't believe in fighting fair, do you?
I believe in winning.
A very sensible attitude.
Sir Gawain stepped over a dead body as he came forward to join them. He looked sternly at Argent, who was still groping in the shadows at the side of the trail, trying to find the sword he'd dropped.
If you're going to stay with us, Argent, I'd better teach you how to fight, or at least how to hang on to your sword.
If you were doing your job properly, I wouldn't need to know how. You're supposed to be a bodyguard, remember?
We all fight when we have to. Now, may I suggest we all get the hell out of here? Those mercenaries knew where to find us. For all we know, there could be more of them on the way right now. Damn it, Gawain! I would have sworn nobody knew we were coming here.
He frowned unhappily at the mercenary he'd just killed.
It's a pity we couldn't take one of them alive to answer questions.
Sorry, I'll try to remember next time.
He strode away to round up the scattered horses. Jordan noticed with pride that of all the party's mounts, only Smokey had stayed put. In fact, when he thought about it, Jordan was actually quite proud of himself, too. He'd helped to take on 6 fully armed mercenaries, had killed 2 himself, and had come out of it without a scratch. Not bad going. The rising wind brought him the smell of burned pork from the mercenary he'd killed, and the reality of the situation suddenly caught up with him. He felt faintly sick, and his hands began to shake. He'd only been on this job a few hours, and already people were trying to kill him. Next time, there might be a hell of a lot more of them. He stepped forward to confront Roderick and fixed him with an icy glare.
When I took on this impersonation, nothing was said about having to face bands of armed mercenaries. I'm an actor, a strolling player. I've damn ill skill with the sword, and no real interest in acquiring any. If I'd wanted a life of danger and excitement, I'd have joined the tax collectors. In short, either you give me one hell of a good reason to stay, or I'm for the nearest horizon and you can find some other half-wit to play Prince Victor.
I see. And what would you consider a good reason to stay?
Jordan smiled inwardly. All he had to do to get out of this was to name a price they couldn't possibly meet.
50,000 ducats. Take it or leave it.
Very well. 50,000 ducats it is.
Huh? All right, then.
There's really no need to worry. A week from now, we'll be back at Castle Midnight. Our people can protect you there.
A lot can happen in a week.
We'll try to keep the journey boring from now on.
What's Castle Midnight like? Will I be safe there?
Well, it depends what you mean by safe. Castle Midnight isn't exactly your average castle.
How do you mean?
You must have heard some of the stories.
Well, yes, but they're just stories, aren't they?
Are you going to tell him, Argent, or shall I?
Castle Midnight is very old and a place of power. Within its walls, what is real and unreal is sometimes largely a matter of opinion.
Just what this job needed. More complications.
The castle stands alone. A lowering, brooding hulk of black basalt stone set atop Brimstone Hill. The castle is unspeakably old, but its walls are as thick and sturdy as they ever were. No ivy clings to the smooth stones, and all the many years have left no trace on the grim walls to mark their passing. The tall, dark towers look out over the surrounding land through narrow, watchful embrasures, sometimes lit with strangely colored fires. The castle did not always belong to the kings of Redheart. They took it by force of arms and sorcery some 700 years ago. But it is theirs now, and they gave it the name by which it has been known and feared for centuries. Castle Midnight. Within the towering black walls, the real and the unreal exist side by side, drawing strength from each other. Midnight is, after all, the hour that divides day from night, light from dark, the waking from the sleeping. It is that fleeting moment when the reality of what is and the possibility of what may be lie in balance, and sometimes in harmony. Those who rule in Castle Midnight draw their power from the juxtaposition of real and unreal, and all who live there know the balance is at best precarious and easily disturbed. And should things ever get out of control, one way or the other, there is no power in or out of this world that could put things back together again. Castle Midnight stands alone, unique and awful, ominous and powerful. Its shadow falls across all of Redheart. It has seen wonders and terrors beyond counting in its time, and known the passing of kings. King Malcolm is 4 weeks dead, and the throne stands empty. Within the black walls, the unreal stirs and grows strong.